Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Tuesday, April 13th. The time is 10:04 a.m. We're here in studio right now, ready for another fantastic day, ready to bring you another great show, as always. My name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. And back behind the booth, that is the one and only Chance Collins. Now, before we get the show started today, wanted to take a quick moment to acknowledge another continued tragedy here in our city yesterday, as I'm sure everybody has kept up with the news about this, but the local news, you know, the school shooting that happened in Austin East yesterday around 3:15 yesterday afternoon. So, again, a horrible, horrible tragedy, man. Something that is just heartbreaking to see on every different level, especially when you think about the continued nature of things. But again, would be remiss not to acknowledge it at the beginning of our show, say that our thoughts and our best absolute wishes are with that community, with the whole city as a whole, as we love this city. We love being able to talk to it every single day. People all around the city, people from outside of the city as well. So we feel very passionate about when something happens. So wanted to acknowledge something at the top of the show real quick.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Brent. Had you cut off.
Oh, no, you're good. Thoughts and prayers with the Austin East community and the officer that was shot. It's a tragic situation, but, again, thoughts and prayers with that community.
Yeah, man, it's heartbreaking. And here it was. I mean, it was just a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. I was talking about the – when we signed off the deaths that they had. At that point, it was three. And now it's four former and current students since the start of 2021 that have been Austin East students to lose their lives to gun violence. And it's just real sad stuff, man. And hopefully, you know, things like this, as they are, kind of bring a community together, kind of make you also really, really, you know, appreciate life, because it can be taken so quickly. It makes you, you know, appreciate more about the important things and let the little things, you know, kind of just get by you that are got you holding you back. So, yeah, big thoughts and prayers to the whole Knoxville community, especially Austin East, all those students today. I believe there's going to be a prayer vigil tonight, too, that one of the pastors who's very heavily involved with the community over there, I can get the information on that later, but I know they're supposed to be doing that tonight. And, yeah, man, you feel for them, and you feel for the city.
Yeah, well said. If you're looking for any of that information, we'll do our best to track that down for you throughout the day. So just reach out, and we'll find that out for you. But, again, well said by you, too. And, again, I very much echo your same thoughts. But that being said, gentlemen, it is still a Tuesday, and we still want to hopefully bring a little bit of positivity to the radio waves of the city today. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. We got a great show lined up today. How are you guys doing now that we are getting the day rolling a little bit? The sun is shining. Birds are chirping.
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Good.
You know, it never really crossed my mind until you said the date earlier.
Yeah.
Why is it only Friday the 13th that's bad luck? How come none of the other days that the 13th lands on are not bad luck? Why just Friday?
Is it because of the movie?
I feel like it had to be a thing before the movie, right? I feel like the movie was probably named that because of
the significance of the Friday the 13th.
It's really weird that you're bringing up a Friday the 13th connection right now, because while I was on my way to the show, I was listening to the radio, and somebody had said the date, and I legitimately thought the exact same, kind of, but I thought, hey, we haven't had a Friday the 13th in a while. It's just, that was just a random thought that just went in one ear and out the other. So it's weird that you bring up pretty much the same reference today.
I want to know why the other days aren't bad luck. Like, I feel like it's the number. It's not the Friday that's the bad luck. It's the 13th.
No, it's the combination.
Why is Friday bad luck? I love Fridays.
It's not bad luck. Again, I don't feel like Fridays are bad luck. I don't feel like the 13th is bad luck. But when you combine them, you get trouble.
I'll give you some history.
Yes, sir.
I feel like maybe they should have known this. I don't know. The superstition surrounding Friday the 13th is thought to originate with the Last Supper, which was attended by 13 people. Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples on Monday, Thursday, the night before his crucifixion by Roman soldiers on Good Friday.
Okay.
And that's where it
comes Friday the 13th, the pseudo kind of holiday that's revolved around murder and superstition and bad luck really traces all the way back to the Last Supper.
That's what it says right here. That's on, I guess this is independent.co.uk. I don't know how much validity there is there.
I think that one does.
It seems like that'd be a very drawn-out lie to really make a lot of sense there. So, yeah, and that's what I'm seeing on these other websites, too, pretty much. So, yeah, there we have it. I did not know that either, though.
I wish we could give you a better answer, but does that satisfy you at all in the slightest? Knowing that at least the origins date back to the Last Supper?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really answer the question. I don't know how we could get an answer to my actual question, but...
Friday is believed to be the day that Eve gave Adam the fateful apple from the Tree of Knowledge.
Wow. How do they know this?
Wow.
Right.
How do they know what day it was?
There were only two people there.
Did they even have the same days of the
week?
Did
they have days?
Excellent point.
I mean, I imagine that obviously they had days, but they didn't have Monday and Friday, Tuesday.
As well as the day that Cain killed his brother Abel. Was on a Friday the 13th.
The biblical references are through the roof with this date.
Thursday is named after the Norse god Thor.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yes. So how would the...
Do-do-do?
I'm so confused. I don't know. Anyway, just a nice little tangent to start the show.
So Cain and Abel, Eve and Adam, and the Last Supper all have these Friday the 13th references.
And here's the other one, an important milestone in the history of the Friday the 13th legend. Occurred in 1907.
Noah loaded the ark on Friday the 13th.
Now this is 1907.
Moses parted this Red Sea on Friday the 13th.
With the publication of the novel Friday the 13th, written by Thomas William Lawson.
Okay.
Hold on. In Spanish-speaking countries, Tuesday the 13th.
Oh my God.
Is considered a day of bad luck.
Oh today. No.
Today.
You're kidding.
Hispanic and Greek cultures consider Tuesday an unlucky day. Tuesday the 13th.
Does that apply to us because we are not necessarily a Spanish culture society?
I mean, it's America. It's we're a melting pot.
Okay.
So. It says here the fall of Constantinople to the Fourth Crusade occurred Tuesday, April 13th in 1204. Yeah. A little history on your Tuesday. Dropping some knowledge on your head, Rick.
Knowledge is power. Man.
You remember
the fall
one?
Of Constantinople to the Ottomans.
You remember that one really weird song I showed you outside the station like a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
That has everything to do with Constantinople. So many weird references today. So many of them.
And we're only in the first segment. Who knows what'll happen next?
We're 10 minutes into the show right now. Fairly impressive for us.
I think it's solid. Very solid.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So I hope you are satisfied with the research that we got done today. That's like the second deep dive on Friday the 13th we've done. So I imagine there's one coming up at some point months down the road. But
I feel like it's been a long time since we – probably like over a year since we took a deep dive into Friday the 13th.
I wonder if that one guy died on Friday the 13th, the guy with the hiccup problem.
Oh. Charles Osborne.
Charles Osborne.
How do you remember that name?
How can you forget it?
Easily, I thought. I guess not. Anyways, Chance, it's taken a while to get here, but good morning. How are you doing, my friend? I liked it, though.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
I feel good. It's nice good day to hear. Outside. It I like the conversation starting off.
And no doubt about it. We got Charlie is taking his exams right now and tomorrow, so that's where he's at right now. He will be back at the end of the at the end of the week. So hopefully that all goes well, and best of luck to our guy Chuck. But anyways, gentlemen, we got plenty of stuff to get into today. There are tons of talking points, and really, honestly, today we could have an entire show just revolving around transfers, basketball, football, doesn't matter. Plenty of transfer news to get into, so we will definitely be getting into that as some of these Tennessee targets, especially on the basketball side of things, are starting to land at some homes, but unfortunately you've heard no new news about anybody coming to Tennessee.
No, not since Justin Powell Panther.
Yeah.
He's
still our guy, though. I still believe in him. I still think that was an incredible pickup.
Well, I mean, we'll get into this a little bit later, but a big man that I thought Tennessee might have a chance with is now off the table.
I will double that. I will say, and another big man that I thought Tennessee could potentially be on the table for is now gone as well to another SEC team as that.
So I'm still hoping that Barnes can bring in some kind of post presence, because I mean you're gonna have to have it. I mean even if Fulkerson comes back, even if he comes back, you still have to add some kind of post presence.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, so we'll let you know about some of the names that
and not some lanky guy like John Fox. I want some big guy who will make his presence be felt in the post.
You want a beefy boy.
A beefy boy in the post.
Yeah, you want an EJ and a sickie is what you want. Maybe not. Okay. Scratch that. So we'll let you know about those two players who are now off the table for Tennessee. Again, this one, it does sting a little bit more even because not only were they two non-SEC guys, they're now both SEC guys. And again, neither one of them will be in Tennessee's orange. That might actually give you a hint about one of them. And again, we got a little bit of recruiting news on the football side of things. We got a four-star quarterback who put Tennessee in his top nine as we are kind of still starting out in the beginning stages of this next early recruiting cycle. But another thing I wanted to talk about was going back to open practice on Saturday and really even going back to a conversation we had yesterday, right? Kind of talking about some of the biggest things that these quarterbacks are doing and likely doing to separate themselves from the pack. I want to go back and talk about the red zone offense and the red zone drills that they were doing because, again, if you want to tell me that – because, again, I'll rewind for a second. Like I had said yesterday, Tennessee did a lot of red zone drills, a lot of passes into the end zone, receivers, tight ends, doesn't matter. So it was not only against air, but it was also against the defense. And so you can certainly convince me that, yes – maybe Josh Heupel wanted to give the fans who were there for the first time maybe a little bit of some exciting plays to look at in the end zone. I can believe that. But I also got to believe that that's going to be one of the most important things that one of these quarterbacks can do in order to separate himself out from the crowd this early in the season. We'll take a look back at the stats and the numbers from Josh Heupel's UCF offense, and especially in the red zone, and I think you get a perfectly clear picture about what he is going to want out of his quarterback next year. And I think it also gives you an idea about who the front runner is if you didn't already have somebody in mind. And also, when you're looking at Tennessee's number, not that you needed me to tell you this. You saw it with your own eyes. Brandon, when I tell you the stats for Tennessee's red zone offense last year, blah, blah.
Not good.
And it's acceptable to talk about now because it doesn't matter a lick. None of it. None of it. Nobody's back. Chaney, Pruitt, JG, nobody. So we can talk about it a little bit freely now, right? It doesn't sting as bad, but it is abysmal. You will already see the night and day difference that this new staff is going to bring to this Tennessee offense. So there you go. That's just a little bit off the top. And that's only covering the Tennessee stuff so far. What else, Brandon, do you know about is on the menu for today's show? You seen anything else good? Oh, there's a little bit of baseball news, right?
A little bit of baseball news.
A little bit of baseball news for your number three Tennessee Volunteers.
Are we going with number three?
Oh, yeah, we're going with number three. It's the highest one. I'm always going with the highest one. I know Charlie said yesterday there's an important one. But you know, if you ask me, the important one is the highest one.
I don't know. I kind of like Baseball America or D1 Base, whichever one. I don't know. They have us around number five. I think we should...
I'd rather be number three than number five.
Let's not get a big head. Keep us where
we
they
earned our number.
No.
Buddy of mine texted me yesterday, Arkansas alum, and he said, "Hey, I'm thinking about coming into Knoxville for the Tennessee Arkansas series." I was saying, "Sounds good. Get ready to unload your bank account. The ticket prices are outrageous." And he texted me, "LOL, how outrageous." Is outrageous. Then 3 minutes later, he said, LOL, all caps, never mind. These ticket, have you seen them?
Well, they were like $150 to get in.
$200 now.
To get in last week.
Like, some of the minimum tickets are $300.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what they are this week.
$300.
What? You think it's going to be more expensive for Vanderbilt, who is a rival, or Arkansas, who will be a number one seed?
Well, it depends. I think if Tennessee keeps winning, if they can go up to number two, and Arkansas stays at one, I mean that would be, I mean that one would be through the roof.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we have rambled on for quite a long time here in this opening segment so far, right here on the Blitz. We'll go ahead and take a quick break until we get into the good stuff for the day. 865-546-8200. Of course, that's your number to call in. We would love to hear from you today, no matter what you want to talk about. We'll even get back into the Friday the 13th conversation. I'm actually still not finished with it. I think it's fun. Hey, don't go anywhere. This is the Blitz. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:24 a.m. You got Rick, Chance, and Brandon hanging out with you. 865-546-8200. That is our phone number in case you want to get in on the show today. By the way, we totally forgot to say as well, basketball news too. Tennessee rounded out their coaching staff. They got their last assistant coach filled in the spots. It is Rod Clark, and we got to wait 1 second. We'll give you that in just a minute. First, want to finish talking about what we started there in that first segment a little bit, a couple minutes ago. Two big names leave the transfer portal that were connected to Tennessee basketball. We'll give you these two names and how they were connected. But again, a little bit of an unfortunate situation. One of them affects Tennessee. Well, neither one of them affects Tennessee directly. And then again, it's all kind of the same in the basketball world. But one of the names was Noah Gurley. That was one of the Furman big men. Originally, Tennessee was in his top eight. Then he kind of came out and said that he lost interest in the Vols a little bit, that waned to a degree, and he does announce he will be transferring to Nate Oates and the University of Alabama. So, again, not only is that a guy on Tennessee, was a guy on Tennessee's radar, but also now going to an SEC rival and a contender. And the SEC. I think that's one of the most important things here. A contender.
Well, Walker Kessler, North Carolina transfer forward, announced yesterday that he plans to enroll at Auburn. So he will join Bruce Pearl.
Oh, Buck Pearl.
At Auburn. I feel like that's an interesting move.
That is a very interesting move. Especially because Sharif Cooper, you think one of the more exciting guys to play with, he is leaving for the NBA draft. But they still got that other guy. What's his name?
Oh, what's his name?
Who
the most
is?
Elusive, the most elusive player on every team. Oh, what's his name? Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith is one of those kids that is going to be on the Auburn roster next year. It's going to be interesting with Bruce Pearl. But, again, you got two guys who were potentially on the radar of Rick Barnes in Tennessee basketball, and they're now elsewhere in the SEC.
Well, is Auburn's NCAA or whatever, is that over after this year?
Oh, they're
is LSU.
Well, I mean, they didn't.
Was that their self-imposed ban?
Yeah, I don't know.
Self-imposed.
Was it just this year?
I believe it was a 1 year, but I will double check that right now.
I think so. But yeah, about the same thing that's happened with LSU
for just 2020 and 2021, as in the one season combined.
Well,
pretty easy to ban yourself in a COVID year, but hey, way to plan it out, Bruce. Way to plan it out.
Yeah, that did come out in November of 2020 at the end too. But again, those are two of the names that you need to know about. Unfortunately, those will not be players on Tennessee's roster next year. But hey, Tennessee, I still think is searching around in the transfer portal, and frankly, you got to imagine that they have to be. I don't think anybody would be satisfied coming out of this offseason without another talented player, right? And again, not Brandon, like what you said earlier. Not a guy who you hope could be good, you hope could be something. I want an established player. You have a record-breaking number in the transfer portal. Well, let's go out there and convince somebody, tell somebody, have them believe that they can take that next step at Tennessee. But again, I believe that Tennessee still needs a highly talented player out of that transfer portal that could do wonders, especially knowing that your SEC talent, or excuse me, your SEC competition, your SEC rivals, well, they're loading up as well in positions that you, frankly, lack.
All right, let's look here. Should we look at power forward or center?
Well,
let's just start with power forward.
Okay.
All right. Oscar.
Well, I don't know. Who's your starting lineup right now? It'd be Chandler, Triple J.
I would imagine Victor Bailey.
Yeah. The Scooby. And would you, well, Fulkerson.
Fulky if he comes back, for sure.
So what position are you missing out of that starting lineup?
I've got it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you need a center.
Kind of feel like you do, too. But granted, they're both big men, so.
Yeah.
Okay, you say you got it.
But Fulky can play center. He's just not, like you say, he doesn't have a lot of presence because he doesn't have the size.
Nate Reavers. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
Or maybe Reavers. I don't know. 6'9", 210 pounds, 4 stars out of high school, transferring from Wisconsin.
Sound like Bruce Buffer. Sound like the Bruce Buffer of the transfer portal. Standing 6'9", at 220 pounds, transferring from Wisconsin.
Or maybe we can get Jerran Brooks, 6'9", 220. 4 stars out of high school from Washington.
And in the blue corner from Washington.
Let's see. Oh, I was going to say we can get Jamin Brakefield.
Ah, that's a cool name.
But looks like he's probably going to Ole Miss.
Ah, good. Another SEC. Look, the SEC is really loading up in basketball. Ole Miss, you got to believe, after just being on the bubble last year, probably going to take a good step next year, especially if they're going after high-level recruits in the portal. Okay. Tennessee's going to need to step up.
Here we go.
Oh.
We've also got Trey Mitchell from UMass, 6'9", 235.
Oh, now, I have heard of his name. That is interesting.
You've heard of his name?
Mm-hmm.
Like linked to Tennessee, or just you've heard it before?
I think it's just a... Kind of like what you're saying right now, an interesting name in the transfer portal.
Oh, did we?
A name to keep your eye on.
Did we miss this? I remember talking about Xavier Pinson transferring from Missouri, but did we talk about him going to LSU?
No, we didn't.
Oh, great.
Xavier Pinson's going to LSU, guys.
Great.
Shoot.
No, not good. He's pretty good. He can hoop.
Let's see. Who else we got in this transfer portal for the forwards? Okay. 6'8", 205 pounds from Clemson, Olivier Maxence Prosper.
Well, we already have an Olivier. You think that's going to get confusing for the team?
Yeah, we can't have two Olivier's. Yeah,
we might be at our max capacity of Olivier's.
All right. 6'9", 220 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Eligible immediately. Ooh. From Washington.
Another Washington. What happened at Washington last year? Why does everyone want to leave?
I don't know. Huh. Hamir Wright.
Brandon, I'll be honest. Any one of these guys that you have mentioned, I will give two thumbs up to. Look, if you can get some size, if you can get some mass, if you can get some power down low.
Last one.
That's what Tennessee needs. Go for it.
Standing 6 feet, 8 inches tall. Oof. Weighing in at 235 pounds from Arizona State University, Pablo Zubia. Four stars at high school.
Fairness.
Pablo? We already got
Pablo.
A Euros.
Pablo. We already got what?
A Euros. I feel like.
We
He's
sure
from the Ukraine.
Oh.
He's from the Ukraine.
The Ukraine.
We could, yeah. Get him and Uroš down low. That would be unstoppable.
Nah, I don't like it.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both my home and business right now. It's reliable pest control from general pests to termites, bed bugs. I said a hip.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:37 a.m. If you go over to fanrunradio.com, we got a great article up right now that went up over the weekend. Every Tennessee basketball roster changed this offseason so far. Look, if you just need a concise way to kind of track down what are the latest changes and expected arrivals and things like that, you can, of course, go to that article right now on FanRun Radio, and it'll tell you there that Tennessee, part of the departures section, were your two assistant coaches, Kim English, who is now the head coach at George Mason, and Desmond Oliver, who is now the head coach at ETSU. So Rick Barnes was left to fill two spots on the coaching staff. We know that he filled one of them, and that was with assistant coach Rod Clark, 28-year-old assistant, formerly with Austin Peay, a young and energetic guy who I think we're all really excited about joining Rick Barnes' staff here for the Vols. But Chance, it looks like Rick Barnes has found the other assistant coaching hire. What would that be?
Yeah, Tennessee basketball team found their last replacement for the final open coaching spot, and that is former Marquette assistant coach, assistant associate head coach, Justin Ganey. Ganey spent the 2021 season as the associate head coach of Marquette under Steve Wojciechowski, and it was actually his second stint on Wojciechowski's staff because he also worked with the Golden Eagles from 2014 to 2017. And then after Marquette went a separate way this year from Woj and hired Shaka Smart, Tennessee was able to profit off of that. Also, during time between coaching at Marquette, he was an assistant coach at Santa Clara in 2017-18 and at Arizona from 2018 to 2020.
Oh.
So, spent some time down there with Sean Miller, the Wildcats.
Now it says during this comes directly from the UT sports.com. During his time at Arizona, he assisted in the recruitment and development of 2020 NBA draft picks Josh Green, Zeke
Najee,
uh-huh, and
Nico Mannion. Yeah, so before
assisted
his time with
recruiting
Marquette, he also worked with Jason Capel on his staff at Appalachian State from 2010 to 2014. His first job was at Elon during the 2009-2010 season. And also, he spent some time serving on staff at his alma mater, North Carolina State, where he was the director of basketball operations starting in the 2008-2009 season.
You know, on that note, Rick Barnes actually talked about yesterday. He said in a quote, and I think this, I thought this was crazy. So when you had said North Carolina State, my ears immediately perked up. Rick Barnes had this to say, quote, "I coached against Justin when he was the point guard at North Carolina State. He was an incredibly tough competitor then, and he has that same tenacity now as a coach. Justin has a passion for on-court player development that fits well with our staff. Our players are going to love working with him to grow their game." But that's crazy to me. You know, again, that this is a guy that Rick Barnes directly coached against so many years ago.
Yeah, and what we're seeing, too, in my opinion, seeing Rick Barnes continue to go after strong recruiters or up-and-coming guys who have been known to recruit well. He went on to say he's proven that he can recruit effectively nationwide, and says he's very much particularly excited about his ability to maintain the strong ties throughout the state of North Carolina. With that being said, James Adu, he was committed to Marquette under Wojciechowski. He's from North Carolina. Tennessee might be in play for his services as well this coming year. I think he's 6'9". I'll have to pull up the bio on him, but I think he's 6'9", around 215. Brandon, what you like? So, yeah, he's got strong ties in North Carolina, and that is great for anybody who knows about basketball in North Carolina. There are a lot of talented players in the state of North Carolina.
And you got a lot of competition around that North Carolina area as well.
Yes, lots of competition. And I actually remember Ganey playing for North Carolina State a little bit. I remember the name. I can't tell you, like, you know, everything, but I do remember that name from back then. So it's a good hire for Barnes, man. You continue to bring in guys that are known in coaching circles and known to be very talented recruiters. And that's what you need, especially in B-ball, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it, especially when you can see a little bit what, I guess, Barnes is trying to do when he's assembling these two guys. You can see one of these guys in Clark is a younger guy, spent a little bit more time in the high school sector, right? Working with these travel teams, with these elite teams, with these AAU teams, including coaching Kennedy Chandler himself. So you know that's a young-minded guy in the game of basketball who knows what these players are like in high school and how to basically how to adapt to them and how to tailor your program or your style for the future of college basketball. And then you think about with Ganey, in my opinion, this is a guy with veteran experience, right? A guy who's been in multiple different places. He's seen a bunch of things. He's picked up from a ton of different great head coaches. I think this is a guy that you bring in for, A, like you said, chance recruiting, but B, because, again, he brings a level of experience and a level of, I want to say just, I don't know. I can't think of the right word for it. Just, I guess, overall respect is fine enough for the day. But I really like what Tennessee, I think, is doing with this assistant coaching staff so far. Brandon, any thoughts on Justin Ganey as Tennessee's new assistant coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move. And like you all said, continues kind of that the guys that can recruit and. Like I said, you bring in Rod Clark, who's a young guy, not a lot of experience coaching Division I, but I think it kind of balances out with all the experience that Ganey has at Marquette and Arizona, Santa Clara, and all those different spots that he's landed. So I like the move.
Yeah, I like to, like you said, continue to go back to North Carolina connections. The guy I was talking about, his name is Jonas Aidoo, A-I-D-O-O. He's 6'11", 215.
Wow.
Four-star center out of Charlotte. He was previously committed to Marquette. He decommitted, like I said, after the news of Wojciechowski being let go. He's ranked number 60 overall.
Okay, top 100 player.
Number 7 among centers in the 2021 recruiting cycle.
You said his name is what?
Jonas Aidoo, A-I-D-O-O.
Wow.
Yeah, he was previously committed to Marquette while Ganey was on staff and thanked Ganey for recruiting him when he announced last month that he would be reopening his recruitment.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on that if you are watching what Tennessee is doing right now in the transfer portal.
Woo. I mean, like you say, the North Carolina connections for Ganey.
Well, I mean, he's just a recruit.
Yeah,
He's not even a transfer.
He's just out of high school. We've been talking about the portal so much. That's right where my mind goes. Great point.
And then you got Coach Rod Clark, who previously worked at Sunrise Christian Academy, elite prep program, and then the MOCAN Elite AAU program. So some strong, strong recruiting ties.
And this guy's 6'11" as a senior in high school.
215.
And like you said, Marquette was where he was projected. Also, Alabama was in the mix.
Oh no!
As well, but Alabama just got the transfer.
That's true.
From
they just
Furman.
Got Noah Gurley.
Clemson is also in the mix, as well as Georgia. At least that's what it was. So we'll see now.
Wow! If I'm a guy like that, I'm looking at Tennessee and I'm thinking, hey, they got a great point guard. We're certainly going to be able to do some great things with that. Got great defenders. Probably got a pretty experienced power forward next to me if I can convince him to stay. Like, I think he got some potential in his Tennessee basketball roster next year. But again, you got to be able to round it out with a little bit more talent. I do not think that where Tennessee is right now, you can be content with that heading forward. It's just not enough. You lost too much.
Yeah.
This is what first-round draft picks.
So what Jerry Meyer says. Yeah. Long, mobile, and has positive athleticism. Must get stronger and tougher. Functional athleticism will improve with strength gain. Has good shooting touch to behind the arc. Can finish with his offhand. Decent rebounder, but needs more strength on the boards. Good court awareness. Not much back to the basket game at this point. Good to great shot blocker. A lot of potential. Strength gain is vital.
It's a little weak right now. A little weak.
Get in here.
That's all right.
Get him in here.
That's
with,
all right.
Get him in here with Garrett Maidenwald.
Oh, yeah.
Get him beefed up.
Oh, yeah. Go send him over to Mike Eckler, too, the guy working with the football team. That might be my new favorite guy in the – besides Tony Vitello, how can he not be your favorite? Mike Eckler might be my new second favorite guy over there.
Pump the brakes.
No, I'm not going to pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. He's not even coached a game yet,
Rick. Chili hot. Chili hot.
He's not even coached a game.
I'm chili hot. Chili hot. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:49 a.m. You got Rick, Brandon, and Chance closing out the first hour of the show today. Of course, 865-546-8200 is your number to call in case you want to talk about anything on the show today. Talking a little basketball and football so far, talking about the transfer portal, but coming up next to lead off the second hour of the show, we will check in with the Gridiron, check in with a little bit of Tennessee football practice, and really going back to Tennessee's open practice on Saturday. Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We talked about the red zone quarterbacks, how that's going to be one of the most important things, I believe, for these quarterbacks here in the early evaluation process. We'll tell you exactly why it's so important for these quarterbacks to be so efficient in the red zone in Josh Heupel's offense. And the easy answer there to give you the tease, because it works. Simple as that. The stats prove it. We'll give you all the stats you need to know, but it works. That's what I learned yesterday and going back and kind of checking out some of UCF's offense, especially, again, last year and what was considered a down year for them. Still, top 10 stats all across the board. But again, you can tell that that has a fierce red zone offense because the quarterback can play. So that's going to be one of the biggest things that I think you look forward to for next year. Again, we will give you all that information at the top of the second hour coming up in about 10 minutes.
Very cool. You know what else is news dropped? Let's switch gears
real
quick.
What's up?
Longtime Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman announced his retirement.
Man, that guy's had some sick catches. What is the first Edelman catch that comes to your mind?
The one against the Falcons.
Yeah, me too.
Good riddance.
Man. That was a pretty good catch.
Good riddance to Julian Edelman.
He killed your team. Of my former team as well for a little while there. I'm not afraid to admit that I was on that bandwagon. But, yeah, he had some showdowns with the Patriots and the Colts, and certainly he's made a lot of big plays in his career. Made a lot of money off being a slot guy.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, 2018 Super Bowl MVP, 620 receptions on the career, 6,800-plus reception yards, 41 touchdowns, a seventh-round pick, 118 postseason receptions, and – 1,442 yards, only second most in the Super Bowl era behind Jerry Rice, which is pretty wild. There's been a lot of talk this morning, though.
Wow.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
You think so?
Three-time Super Bowl champion, of course.
Well,
I think that's huge.
The debate is that people have been going back and forth comparing his career to one Hines Ward.
Oh.
Who
is Hines Ward not in the Hall of Fame?
He is not in the Hall of Fame yet. He can't make the final ballot in the Hall of Fame voting the last 5 years, apparently. So he's like, I guess, I don't know, running out of time, is that how you say it. But catches, Hines, 1,000, Julian, 620. Huh? Yards, Hines, 12,083, Julian, 6,800, as I just said. Touchdowns, Hines Ward has 85, Julian, 36. Super Bowl MVPs, they both have one. Four Pro Bowls to Julian Edelman, zero. So a lot of people have been going back and forth because, you know, a lot of talk's been about Edelman, and he did his video, and people are saying, well, if Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer, so is Hines Ward. And so I agree with them.
Let me ask you this, because to me, my first thought is that they're both in. How many years about, because I don't really think I ever saw the peak of it, how many years was Hines Ward the top receiver in Pittsburgh, if any? Because I feel like the case for Edelman right there with, like, the yards and things is that he was never really the top receiver, right? You did have guys who were better than him. Yeah, Randy Moss for a little while, guys like that.
Well,
which I think impacts some of the catches and some of the yards, but he was still valuable for Tom Brady as a piece that he could always rely on through those Super Bowls. And when so many things around him, I can't believe I'm carrying water for them right now. So many things around them are changing. I feel like his value and consistency is important. Blech.
Yeah, I'd say
take a Tums.
I mean, Edelman, he did struggle with injuries towards the latter part of his career. Hines Ward was always pretty consistent on the field. I'd say, I mean, he was the top receiver for at least 5 years probably in Pittsburgh, but there was times they had Plaxico Burress.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They had tight end Heath Miller, who was a big threat. They also had some pretty damn good running backs while Hines Ward was there. A guy by the name of Jerome the Bus Bettis. I believe he played with the Killer Bees as well, maybe in the latter part of his career as he was on the way out with Antonio Brown and obviously Big Ben. He was definitely helpful when Big Ben won in his first Super Bowl. And then why can I think of Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, so, they've had nasty.
So they've
offensive
had some. They've
weapons.
Had some pretty scary talent up there too. But Hines Ward is also in that same conversation of why is Torrey Holt not in the Hall yet? Why is Reggie Wayne not in the Hall yet?
He's on it this year, right? Is this his first year to be on it?
Reggie Wayne?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Reggie Wayne would be a one-time Super Bowl champion. I believe the all-time most yards in Colts history. I think that guy is definitely Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, when somebody gets ready, somebody retires and they go back, well, if this person's, you know, going to be in the Hall, then this person definitely. Hines Ward, I mean, he's very talented. He played wide receiver, running back, and quarterback in college. Drafted by the Marlins in the 94 MLB draft. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Wow.
Hines Ward was. And
the Marlins.
He did all that while missing an ACL in his left knee.
Yeesh. Ish.
Yes.
How about this?
Got more Gronk, Friday the 13th?
No. Oh. Gronk says there's a 69% chance.
Nice.
That Julian Edelman joins the Bucks after Patriots retirement.
Oh, my God.
They're doing it. They're doing it again.
Oh, they really might be.
They're doing it again.
Gentlemen, hour number two is on deck here in the first segment. We're going a little Tennessee football. We'll give you a 4-star quarterback that has put Tennessee in his top 9. And, again, we'll also tell you about this top 9. Strange, I know. It's a little bit weird. We're also going to tell you a little bit about the Tennessee red zone struggles of last year, but how that is going to change with Josh Heupel. Well, only one question remains. Who is going to be the quarterback for that red zone offense? We'll talk about it next in hour number two of the Blitz. Everything's all right.